Hi, everybody. Good morning, and welcome to Meditation for Evolutionaries. I'm Craig Hamilton. I'll be your host and guide for today's gathering. It's lovely to be with you. I hope you've had an enriching, nourishing holiday season. I know this is a time of year that can be great for a lot of reflection, stepping back from the year, looking ahead at the next year, but often it ends up being kind of a lot of frenzied planning and rushing around and dealing with a lot of family things. And so whatever it's been for you, I'm glad you made it here to, at least for this time, take an opportunity to dive deep into a place that's beyond all the ups and downs and comings and goings and hustle and bustle. Look forward to our journey that we're going to go on. For anybody who's here for the first time, this is a 90-minute gathering. I'll talk a little bit about meditation at the beginning, then I'll guide us in meditation for about 45 minutes, and then I will take your questions about the practice that we've been doing here for the last half hour. And also, I think some of you were probably a little shocked or worried to receive the email that said that this is going to be the final Meditation for Evolutionaries event. So let me just say a word or two about that. So this is something that I started doing actually 6.5 years ago and been doing it every month since. And I really love doing it. It's been a very profound part of my month to be able to come here with such a large group and engage in meditation practice and just create a collective meditation field together. And I just, for a while now, I've been feeling like I want to do something different. I want to make space for something else. And so I thought with the end of the year coming, this would be a good time to make that transition. So I don't have something new to announce that's going to exactly replace this, but I know that there are several things that I'm going to be doing in the new year that will certainly more than fill the slot that this may have been in your life. And anyway, there will be new things to come. So for now, any of you for whom this has been a real touchstone of your month, just step with me into the liminal space, which means the space in between, and just stay open to what's going to come next. I'll fill you in as soon as I have clarity on that as well. But anyway, here we are for our final Meditation for Evolutionaries gathering. I'm getting feedback on my microphone here. Told I could speak a little louder. Okay, I think I got it in a good spot. So for our final gathering, I thought it would be good to talk a little bit about the meta context or theme that has brought us all together here, which is Meditation for Evolutionaries, and what does that really mean? So an evolutionary, as I've spoken about it, is somebody who cares deeply about the further evolution of life, consciousness, humanity, this planet, and what's beyond. That just we are people who care about evolution, who want things to move forward to a higher, more evolved, more conscious, more enlightened place. And we realize that we are people who need to participate in that, that that's not something that's just going to happen on its own, or we're not going to wait around for it to happen on its own. We are going to actively step in to the evolutionary process and help move it all forward. So we're people who are passionate about change, about positive transformation on all levels, social, cultural, personal, consciousness, et cetera. And so the question becomes, well, what are the best ways, particularly if we realize that human consciousness has to evolve, that the values we hold, the ways we relate to each other, the ways we relate to our planet, and it and every and other life forms on our planet. Just the way we relate to life needs to change. It needs to evolve. We can't just rest in our ancient, unevolved human nature, which is really just our animal nature that is gradually, if you look at it over long periods of time, you can see human nature is gradually improving. You know, we're caring more, broadly speaking, for more people. There's more inclusion and evolution of rights, et cetera. You know, there's a positive upward trajectory over the eons, but it's moving pretty slowly. And if we just let it kind of keep chugging along, it may take a very long time. So when we recognize that that needs to happen, the question is how? And obviously a lot of us evolutionaries are people who do a lot of work on ourselves, and we do a lot of work on the world, meaning we are, you know, taking lots of workshops, and reading books, and doing different practices. We're trying to become better communicators, better listeners, more sensitive, more caring, more efficient, less reactive. You know, so many ways that we're trying to improve ourselves, evolve ourselves, become better people in the hope that we're being the change that we want to see in the world. And all of that, and then of course there's all the outer work we're doing to evolve the world as well in our work and in our volunteer activities and so many things, places we give our money, etc. So we're all outwardly trying to change the world. And all of that work is important and good. But when it comes to the evolution of the person, of the individual, of our consciousness, again, of our relationship to life, how we live, how we conduct ourselves, how we relate to our minds, our feelings, each other, at some point, we begin to wonder if maybe there's a more powerful or more direct way to transform ourselves than all of the busy working on ourselves that we've been doing. And we turn to the spiritual path, the mystical path, and we start to, you know, the enlightenment path. And we come upon this radical proposition that there is a part of who we are, there is an aspect of reality and of who we are that is so powerful, so loving, so immense in its access to wisdom and creativity and inner strength and fortitude, compassion, powerful sensitivity, that there is this, you know, in a sense, that there is a completely different being inside us that we maybe had never seen before, never known before, that we touch into in spiritual experience, and we start to realize, wow, there's just one, you know, not even a hair's breadth between the person I have been my whole life and this other possibility for being human. It's right here. It's already fully formed. And if I could just find a way to make room for this immense dimension of being to show up, to manifest, to take over my life, that everything would be reconfigured almost in an instant. And so many of the powers and capacities and skills I've been trying to develop are actually just readily accessible if I can learn how to make room for this deeper nature, this true nature, spiritual nature, to feel itself and to flow and move my life. And so this is where we take up spiritual practices, get on the path, and we get serious about trying to get out of the way, essentially, to make room for something else to begin to come forth. Something we can't control, something we can't entirely predict, but it's something that if we can learn to allow its presence and allow its movement guide us, take us, that it's there, miraculously, consistently there, here. And so this is where meditation becomes an essential practice, becomes possibly the most powerful practice we can do for our own evolution and therefore for the evolution of the whole. Because it, at least in the kind of meditation that we're practicing here, and the only place this type of meditation is practiced, but you know, direct meditation, non-dual meditation, the meditation practice that takes time out of the equation and brings us directly into enlightened consciousness practice in the moment. It has the potential to open a space for this infinite depth of being, of higher consciousness, super consciousness, in a way that possibly nothing else can on a practice basis. So that's the reason why I created Meditation for Evolutionaries. That's the reason for this way of approaching spiritual practice, is that not just so I can feel better or attain better concentration or become a bit less reactive of a person. It's because there's an extraordinary potential for higher evolution that can begin to unfold when I make room for it. And meditation practice, direct awakening practice that we're doing here, is a way of making room at infinite depth. Now, everything I've just been speaking about isn't something to really think about in meditation, because meditation is not about sitting and thinking about something. But it is valuable for us to reflect on a regular basis, and to reflect on before we meditate, to remain present to the power and potential of the practice, what it's really doing. It's making room for this infinite depth of our true nature show up right now in the practice, and that if we make room for it consistently through practice, it can begin to get traction in our life and ultimately completely subsume everything else, because it is so all-powerful. It can help inspire us to do more meditation. It can help us inspire us to give our attention more wholeheartedly to the meditation practice we do. And it can imbue the meditation, the commitment to a practice, with more meaning and significance than it often has in today's world, where we're taught that meditation can be a good self-improvement path in all these different ways, build all these different specific capacities. It'll make us better at our jobs and whatnot. It's a much bigger thing we're up to. So for today's meditation practice, I also want to return to what might be the simplest and most direct form of meditation. It's the practice of simply being as we are. Simply being as we are. The thing about our true nature, our enlightened nature, awakened awareness, the tricky and mysterious thing about it is that it's so essential to who and what we are, so fundamental, it's so primary. It's what's here before anything else gets added. So essential that any effort we make to try to get to it will inherently take us away from it. Anything you do that is a gesture of, oh wow, I have this, there's this enlightened consciousness, this super consciousness that I could achieve or get to if I do this practice. So I'm going to do this practice to try to get to that. Any version of that will have us looking somewhere other than right here, right now. Have us projecting something future and striving toward it, which will take us away from what's happening right now. But awakened awareness only ever exists right now. Your true nature is who you are right now, not in the future, not somewhere, which means it's not some other state of consciousness. This one. So the wonderful and mysterious, but at times challenging, reality of meditation is that it is simply about being as you are right now, exactly as you are right now. No attempt to get anywhere else. Today. So I just want to invite you to settle into a meditation posture that's comfortable for you, that you can maintain for about 20 minutes or so. That after about 20 minutes, I'll give you a chance to shift positions, readjust your posture. Just want to let ourselves sit still, settle into. Comfortable enough that we can forget about the body. do this with your eyes open or closed. Keep your eyes open. Just let your gaze gently rest on a particular place, downward. Focusing intently on it, wandering around. Practice. Simply being who you are. Being who you are right now means willing to be present for whatever's happening. Whatever emotions are arising, feeling present. Whatever physical sensations. Minds throwing at you. Or just allowing it all to happen without resisting any of it. This is a practice of no resistance. Only allowing. being as you are. Giving up the conviction that there's something wrong with you, something that needs to change in order to open up to freedom, in order to finally let go, in order to finally relax into life, let life happen. Not making a problem out of yourself. Meditation. This experience you're having right now, the person who's having it, completely enough, adequate, completely fine, nothing. From this moment, nothing wrong with this moment. From this moment, And I want to invite you to take a minute to shift positions, shift your body a little, take any pressure off the body from sitting still, wiggle around. Allow yourself to settle back into the meditation. I want to invite you to take a moment to notice any way in which you're not content with meditation as it's happening. Way in which you're not content with yourself. Often we're trying to do a meditation practice like this, but secretly we think we know that what's happening right now isn't quite it. Think, oh, I need, if only my mind was less active. If only I had gotten more sleep, or have some background narrative that's telling us that who we are right now, the experience we're having right now, isn't really sufficient, shouldn't really be enough. We're not really meditating. Whatever it is, there's always some way that even though we're trying to just let things be, allow and be as we are, we're some way in opposition to what's occurring instead of fully embracing. Notice ways in. But don't try to then change that either, about making that go away. about practicing being content. Practicing not having a problem. Some of us get restless or agitated when we try to meditate in this way. Feel like there's nothing to do, don't know what to do, how to do it. That kind of restless and agitated. And it's natural to think that the restlessness and agitation is an obstacle to meditation. Sounds like the opposite of meditation. What would it mean to fully allow and embrace the restlessness? Not problematic. Try to change it. Be content with restlessness and agitation. Or anything else. Rise. being as you are also means allowing yourself to change moment by moment, allowing your experience to shift. Mind, cycle, contentment, and patience. Allowing whatever is arising in you includes then not clinging on. Having it appreciated. Sometimes we can meditate and become very peaceful. So good. Then we start to feel not so good. Include that we are blowing it. Now we're not meditating right. Somehow we lost it. We had found it, but we lost it now. Try to chase after it or get back to it. This is about letting life flow, experience flow, letting change happen. Fearlessly allowing ever arises. want to invite you to gently get out of the meditation, which means to let go of the formal meditation practice. Approach to meditation. You don't have to exactly stop meditating, as meditation is simply being as you are. And say we're bringing meditation to an end, it doesn't mean start being who you are not. Right? But let go of trying to practice that. So, for the next half hour, I'm going to take questions about the practice that we did today and what I spoke about specifically, and give you a moment to reflect on your questions. You can write in a question. There's a Q&A submission form on the webcast page, on the event page. Send me a question there. And I guess before we get into questions, I just want to mention, for any of you who don't already know about it, I'm going to be offering my Practice of Direct Awakening 12-week course starting at the beginning of February, in early February. And this is a comprehensive education in this approach to meditation. It really begins at the beginning and builds all the foundations we need to have a strong meditation practice, and then cultivates some of the preliminaries, like good concentration, strong intention, and then we move through a series of different modules, each one exploring a different aspect of this direct awakening approach meditation. And it's 12 weeks long. There's opportunities to get coaching, ask me questions on the phone or in writing. And it's just, we started offering this for the first time last October, a year ago and months. And it's been an amazing journey, what we've been through, those of us who've taken it. So I invite you to check that out at directawakening.com. That's directawakening.com. Want to learn more and join us for that journey. We'd love to have you. All right. Look here. So I'm going to consolidate a few of these questions that are kind of all in the same category, and they all tend to always come up when we approach meditation in the way we did today, which is just being as we are, letting things be. This is one aspect of the practice of direct awakening, this kind of practice of just not resisting, embracing all, allowing everything. So I see questions around, well, there's often a whole bunch of questions that are like, well, what about this? Because inevitably, that's kind of how the meditation unfolds. We sit down with an intention to let it all be, and then certain things seem like they must not be included in that. So let me just say it this way. So any emotional content that could arise, including, you know, grief, anxiety, tremendous fear on the one hand, kind of negative, you know, uncomfortable emotions, or incredibly positive emotions, bliss, joy, love, tears of overwhelming happiness, all the most positive feelings we could have. So any emotional content, we treat it all exactly the same way in this practice that we did today. We just allow it to occur for as long as it occurs on its own. And then we let it change into whatever it's going to change into next. So that means maybe you feel, you know, that anxiety or that fear. You just let yourself feel it. You don't try to change it. You don't try to chase it away. You don't try to put your attention on something else. You let it happen. Maybe then you feel these very positive feelings. Again, you don't try to amplify them. You don't try to hold on to them. You don't try to stay in that feeling. Just let it all happen. Because we're taking the position that all experience is natural. So this is a practice of the natural state. We're being natural. It's all the natural unfolding of my human experience, and I'm not going to resist it. So that's true for all emotional or feeling content. It's also true for any energetic phenomena you might feel. Lots of, you know, energetic sensations, strong energy moving in the body or in the subtle body. Again, don't try to amplify them. Don't try to reduce them. Don't try to sustain them. If energy arises, let it come and go in its own natural way. And don't fixate on it. Don't focus on it. Allow it. Physical sensations, like it's also true of all physical sensation. However, the one we would rule out would be extreme pain, meaning if you're sitting in a way that's causing you a lot of pain, you obviously, I'm not going to say, no, just sit there and suffer through your horrible pain. I'm going to say, no, take a moment and shift your body position so that you're not in pain, or at least not in that kind of pain. A little bit of pain, okay. You know, as long as you're not hurting yourself, a little bit of pain. Sometimes in life, we have to just suffer through a little bit of pain. And again, we're just letting a little bit of pain be there if it's there. It's okay. We don't want it to get to be too much. We don't want to get it distracting us from our practice. We don't want to be hurting ourselves. But a little bit of pain, this or that, a little discomfort, a little agitation, a little itch, et cetera. That's, again, part of just natural having a body. So we let that be. Thoughts, if you have a lot of mental chatter. Again, the key here is we're just letting that happen, but we're not giving it our attention. The real trick with thought in meditation is, are you paying attention to it or not? If you're turning toward it and you're engaging with the thought and you're trying to solve that problem actively or figure that out or answer that question or whatever, you're engaging with thought, that's really not meditating. That's going and solving a problem or engaging with the mind. But the mind will continue to produce content throughout your meditation often. And again, it's just about letting that occur. So, Beryl, you don't need to quiet your mind in order to meditate. That's one of the questioners. Don't need to quiet your mind in order to meditate. Be less interested in your mind. That will let you meditate. Less engaged with your mind. More interested in doing the practice and seeing where it leads you. Okay, so that's an attempt to integrate a bunch of questions that have been asked and that I know have. Here's just a practical question about my practice of direct awakening course from Susan, Santa Clarita. Hi. She just said, are the meditations we receive in the new course different than the ones I received in Journey into Freedom? So Journey into Freedom is another meditation course. It's not really a meditation course as much as a just collection of guided meditation audios that I have. That you can find that at journeyintofreedom.net for anybody. And that's a a shorter, simpler kind of offering where it's a lot of guided meditations and not all the instruction and the comprehensiveness of practice of direct awakening. So, Susan, they're completely different meditations in the practice of direct awakening. They're all a whole new set of meditations that are tied to the course sessions, and it's much more structured and systematic, I would say, is the way to think about it. But yeah, no, there's no crossover. I mean, let me put it this way. There's no crossover in specific content. Obviously, you know, if you've been listening to me teach meditation, you know, I teach it in similar ways, and there's crossover in all of these different approaches. But in terms of the audio, the audios are completely different, and largely the practice of direct awakening is a big update to the whole approach, I guess I would say. Yes, they're different. Okay, I hope I made it clear for you. Rena in Dallas says, I see an eye looking at me and sometimes it blinks or it closes. Can you help explain this? So that opens up one other category of experience that I didn't refer to at the beginning. So that's, let's call it visual phenomena. And this would include auditory phenomena or any other sensory phenomena that sort of is just inward, meaning not, you know, and I guess I would say it's really the same as outer phenomena. Like, so you may have just heard there was a dog barking outside for a little while. I don't know if it came through on the microphone or not, but you can be sitting in meditation and there's a dog barking next door for a long time, or someone's playing their radio and you're hearing it. So there's kind of outer phenomena like that. And then there's inner phenomena. You can hear inner sounds, or you can have inner visions, lights, objects appear in your inner eye. So all of that, again, in this practice, we just, but when a dog's barking when you're trying to teach, you want to maybe close the window. So let me do that. Sorry. I don't know if that's coming through or not. So all phenomena, all sort of, let's call it sensory phenomena, whether it's inner or outer, we regard in the same way. And we just let it happen. We let it arise. We don't try to interpret it. We don't try to make meaning out of it. We don't try to understand it. Say, well, what does this mean? Why is this happening? What is it symbolic of? In this approach, I'm not saying it's wrong to be curious about that outside of meditation, but in the meditation practice, we just don't have any relationship to it. We don't have any engagement with it. We just let it occur, let it come and go. Same. Scanning some more questions. Okay. Oh, and just someone asking about if there is extreme physical pain. Really find a way to sit that works for you, and if sitting doesn't work, find another way. I'm not going to go on a class about posture here. I do teach quite a bit about posture at the beginning of the Direct Awakening course, but the main general thing I would just say here is it's more important to be comfortable than to be sitting in any particular way. So if you're somebody with chronic pain and it works to lie down and meditate, do that, but just be aware that when you're lying down, it's easy to drift off and fall asleep and not be focused. So do it in a well-lighted room, and do it when at a time of day that you're more likely to stay awake, and don't try to let yourself just... drift. Cabot in Vancouver says, it seems that allowing, not resisting, enables me to see and perceive more clearly. and therefore turn subject into object more readily. Is this part of the evolutionary unfolding? Yeah, this is a great insight here. So, and it's worth, I'll say a few words on it. So what Cabot is pointing to is that when you're not trying to change things, when you're not resistant to what is, you're just allowing it all to happen, part of what that enables you to do is to see things as they are. You know, part of what's wrong with the world and one of the dilemmas of the human condition is that we don't tend to see things as they are. We see through filters, which means we see what we want to see, or we avoid lots of things about reality. We avoid things that cause us discomfort. We avoid things that challenge our self-image. We avoid truths that challenge our worldview and our beliefs. Why don't we see that playing out on the world stage last year? I mean, always, but you know, recently we're seeing certain amplification of that tendency. So how do we overcome the human tendency to not see things as they are, to be avoidance, denial, ignorance? And this is one of the concrete benefits of meditating in this way is that when you're willing to let things be as they are and allow things to be as they are, then you're going to be able to see them as they are and have fewer distortions, perception, cognition, worldview. So you get more in touch, to put it in California terms, you get more in touch with reality. You get more in touch. So that then enables you to make better decisions. Become a better, you know, you have better judgment, you make better decisions, solve problems better because you see what the problems actually are. So, yeah, there's a whole, and it is, as you said, Kevin, part of the evolutionary unfolding. I mean, it's part of what makes us a more powerful evolutionary, more capable, more able to drive positive change in the world, in our lives, to be just to be effective, simply put. Absolutely. That's one of the, you know, in the practice of direct awakening, I talk about the essential supercapacities of awakened consciousness or of our true nature, because there's a way in which as we awaken, we start to seem a little bit like a superhero, in a sense that we seem to have all these abilities that start to come online that are just the natural outpicturing of our super nature, our enlightened awareness. And but there, when you actually boil them down, they tend to be kind of simple, like the one I just described. When a person suddenly is able to see clearly and see things as they are and isn't lost in their own filters, their own assumptions, their own deeply held beliefs, or able to see past all that and encounter reality directly, you know, it seems kind of superhuman in a world where the human race is really lost in ignorance of avoidance and denial of one form or another. So absolutely, it's an evolutionary leap. Katie, is it okay to fall asleep in meditation? Well, it's okay if your goal is to get sleep, which, you know, for some of us it might be, or if we're exhausted and we haven't got enough sleep and we meditate and fall asleep, I might say, well, good, go to bed and go to sleep until you're well rested. But if your goal is to meditate and gain all the profound benefits of meditation that I'm talking about, we need to stay awake for the meditation. So get enough sleep so that you can stay awake for the meditation. But anyway, that's another topic that I'm probably not going to spend more time on than that. Staying awake is necessary. Different questions? Oh. Yeah, Linda in Eureka is asking about the difference between the Direct Awakening course and the Journey into Freedom. Yeah, Journey into Freedom is a series of guided meditations that I recorded at one point, and it's a great introduction to this approach. But the practice of direct awakening is a very comprehensive course that I created last year, and it really represents the most evolved version of all this. And yes, it's completely different. Okay. And I'm getting this positive comments. Thank you. Yeah, but I will read them all at the end. So any of you who also want to just send me a message here about what, since this is the end of this series, please feel free, and I'll definitely read through all those. People asking if they can take the Direct Awakening course a second time and if there's a benefit to that. The thing is with meditation, it's the kind of thing, it's a life practice, and there's a way it tends to just deepen and deepen and deepen and deepen. And how our meditation was a year ago, very different than how it is now if we stayed with it. And so listening to meditation instruction, even if it's the same instruction a year later, can often seem like a completely new instruction because where we're at and how we're approaching it is very different now because we've really gone somewhere with our meditation. So, if you took the course, you have all the material, so you can listen to it again. But because this is going to be a live cohort and I'll be taking questions, you're certainly invited to join us. We'll send any graduates of the practice of Direct Awakening who are here who are wondering about that, we'll send you a discount code so you can take it for a very nominal fee if you want to rejoin us for the cohort. I always like to do that for people to go through it again with the live group. So we'll let you know about that sometime. All right. Okay. A lot of these I've already covered. Okay, let's see. Sheila in Carmel says, is the object of giving no focus of not focusing on anything, is the object of that so that the mind will come into awareness? And what is the difference between mind and awareness? So these are these are terms, right, that mean different things to different people in different contexts. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of words for mind in the English language. In some of the Asian languages where they've been meditating for thousands of years, they came up with a lot of different descriptions of different aspects of mind or consciousness, have a lot of different words for it, but that are more specific. But in the way I tend to use the term, when I talk about the mind, I'm usually just talking about thought, the thought stream, cognition. And when I would talk about awareness, I would use awareness and consciousness synonymously, and I would be talking about that which is aware or conscious, meaning having experiences. So experience, awareness, consciousness are sort of all synonymous, and in this way of looking at it. And so the way to get a clear and simple picture of it in your own experience right now even is to just notice that there are all these things in awareness. If you look around the room you're in, space you're in, the furniture, the walls, the windows, what's outside. Then there's all the things arising inwardly, thoughts, feeling sensations. What? Who or what is aware of all of those things? Just see if you can notice right now. Awareness, consciousness. That in which those things are able to be noticed or experienced. Subjectivity, there's the experiencer. Your awareness right in this moment. And there's all the things you're aware of. Notice both. You can notice awareness. So that would be the way I would distinguish them. And then, yes, the point, so to come to your specific question, the point of not focusing on any of the objects, not giving your attention to any of the content of your experience, that's what we're doing today partly, right? It was let it happen. Let it arise. Don't engage with the thoughts. Don't engage with the feelings. Let them occur. One way of looking at what that does, one other aspect of what that does is what you just said, which is if you stop giving your attention and energy to all the content of your experience, the objects and consciousness, it's much easier to become aware of consciousness itself. In a sense, it's the only thing left to be paying attention to. If you stop paying attention, giving your energy to all the things, then attention naturally comes to the subject itself, the experience. Becoming aware of awareness itself, consciousness becoming self-conscious is another way of describing awakening. Another way of describing what awakened awareness is. It's awareness that knows itself. When you know yourself, really are. All manner of wonderful things will unfold from that discovery. Thank you. Well, receiving a lot of had a couple of them as we're coming to end here. A couple minutes left. Lots of happy New Year's and all. Well, I guess I just want to say in closing that I know. Probably not that many of you have been on the whole 6.5 years journey with me through these monthly guided meditations here, the Meditation for Evolutionary series. But for those of you who've participated at all, which I guess includes all of you because at least you were here today, I just want to say thank you for being part of this journey with me. There is something, you know, it's a very interesting thing about meditation because on the one hand, it seems like something that's just happening inside us individually. Like I sit down, it's just me and my awareness, me and my mind, me and my experience. That's it. But then we come together with a group of people physically. If you've ever gotten together with a group and meditated, and we notice, wow, it's much easier to meditate when I sit with a group. We get together in a physical space and we meditate, and it seems like there's the meditation somehow is propelled by the fact that there's a group of us. And this is why people have been meditating in groups for thousands of years, because there's some kind of power to doing it together. And now we have this amazing internet that connects us all over the world. And then we try, oh, well, what happens if we don't get together in physical space, but we get together in virtual space and we meditate? And lo and behold, many of us have reported and find that when we sit together with a large group like this, there's something, there's a meditative field that we all can plug into and tap into and add our energy to. And miraculously, we find it's easier to meditate when we're all here together doing it, even though we're not in the same physical space. Now, I'm not going to give you a theory about why, even though, of course, I have many, and I'm sure you have them, but given that consciousness is not a separate, you know, at least in any mystical worldview, consciousness is not some just separate phenomenon happening inside your individual brain, but it's a recognition of something that is universal, that we're all part of, or that we're all expressions of. You can see ways in which it makes sense that that would be the case. But I just want to underline that I really have loved getting together with all of you in this way. And I'll be continuing to offer ways to do this in the future. And let's just see what exact expressions those take. I might just do different things each month as opposed to just having a regular series like this. Or I don't know exactly how it's going to all unfold, but there will be many ways continue to meditate and practice and engage together. So I look forward to those. And I thank you for being part of this community and this collective journey. And as you head into the new year, I want to encourage you to renew your commitment to meditation practice. At whatever level you have a commitment to it, take a little time, dig deep. And I hope the little talk I gave at the beginning about why meditation is valuable can be a foundation for you to just reignite your commitment. Because, you know, New Year's, the whole thing about New Year's resolutions and, you know, making a new commitment at the beginning of a year, it can seem contrived. It can seem irrelevant, right? Why does it matter? Why don't I make a resolution on March 17th? You know, like what is it about the new year? But people who've done research on behavior change, on how people change. A very good book about this called Changeology a few years ago. It really is the science of change, behavior change. One of the things they have found is that if you make a change and a commitment to change something on a kind of on an important date, whether it's your birthday or the new year or the first day of the month or whatever it is, but on a nice round number, a clear demarcation, that it actually tends to stick more. So it gives it power, the fact of doing it on a certain date. So I'm going to just invoke that ceremony and invite you to step into it and make the turn of the year a chance to really renew your commitment to spiritual awakening and to meditation and pursue it wholeheartedly this year, maybe more than you ever have, because it is so worth it, and it is so important, not just for us individually, but for the human race, for all of life, for consciousness, for this planet, and for, I would argue, for spirit itself, that we awaken as fully and completely as we can, as soon as possible. So I wish you Godspeed in your practice and on your path. And look forward to all the ways we can stay connected in that. So, have a wonderful holiday weekend, and see you in the new year, one place or another. Thanks again, everybody. Bye-bye.